We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. Today we will discuss text 14. Please repeat. Matraspashastu Kaunteya. Sitoshna Sukadukada. Agamāpāyīna nityas
tamstatikṣasvabhārata
matraspaśastu kaunteya śitoṣṇā-sukha-dukkhadā agamāpāyīna nityas
tamstatikṣasvabhārata
matraspaśastu kaunteya śitoṣṇā-sukha-dukkhadā
agamāpāyīna nityas
tamstatikṣasvabhārata.
Matraspaśastu kaunteya
śitoṣṇā-sukha-dukkhadā
agamāpāyīna nityas
tamstatikṣasvabhārata matraspaśa.
Sensory perception.
Two.
Only.
Kaunteya.
O son of Kunti.
Sita.
Winter.
Ushna.
Summer.
Sukha.
Happiness.
Dukkha.
And pain.
Da.
Giving.
Agama.
Appearing.
Apaina.
Disappearing.
Anitya.
Non-permanent.
Tan.
All of them.
Tatiksva.
Just try to tolerate.
Bharat.
O descendant of the Bharat dynasty.
Translation purport by C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
O son of Kunti,
the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, a sign of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magh, January, February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principle does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May or June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kaunteya signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharat signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in a matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. Now we will read commentaries of Pujan Prabhu. Matras versus the county of Sitasna Sukaduka. Agamapi in Nityas, Tam Stiksas Vabharata. You have to tolerate this. This is Krishna's first directive to Arjuna, a spiritual instruction, an approach to spiritual life. He told him that the body and soul are different, and that the soul is eternal, and that there is individuality on the level of the soul. But now Arjuna still has a problem. So Krishna says, you have to tolerate. A person in the royal order should even be more tolerant than a common man towards the dualities of life, honor and dishonor, happiness and distress. That is life, it comes and goes. Riding high in April and shut down in May. This is the way of life. There is nothing you can do. It is material life, Arjuna. You have to learn how to tolerate this without being disturbed. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in his commentary that a person still must take a bath in the month of Magh. And Prabhupada writes in his commentary, this is a Vedic injunction. Even though it is cold in February or January, still one has to take morning bath. You can't skip this bath because an elected person has to perform his puja, or at least his Gayatri and Japa, and he can't do that unless he's clean. Anyway, Arjuna, you are from the royal order. You are a Kshatriya. You will become emperor. So surely you must be tolerant, more than a common man. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, you cannot give up your Svadharma of fighting in the battle on the plea of affection for relatives. It is definitely a cause of great disturbance to give up one's Svadharma, which is given in Shastra. You cannot just say, because I have affection for my relatives, now I have to give up my Svadharma. Svadharma is very important. It is not such an insignificant thing that you can pass it off so easily. Prabhupada comments also, the two different names of address given to Arjuna are very significant. To address him as Kantya signifies his blood relation from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharat signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in a matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. He is caught from both sides. He is cornered. He is called Kaunteya and Bharat in this verse because it indicates his great duty as a person of high lineage, that he needs to tolerate the pain that he is going to feel. He is going to fight against Bhishma, Drona and all his relatives. Krishna says, yes, Arjuna, you will be distressed if Bhishma changes his body, and you won't have that same Bhishma to relate to. And you will also be distressed when Drona changes body, because you will not have Drona anymore to relate to. But the stress and happiness come and go. Agamapayina anitya, they come and go. Just they are anitya, they are not eternal. They come like winter and summer seasons. You cannot stop happiness and distress from coming and going. This is the very nature of the material world. It is built to something to give us distress from coming and going. This is the very nature of the material world. It is built to give us distress. If there would be only distress, then we would get used to it. But there is also a happiness. If there would be only happiness, then we would think it, this is wonderful. But in the material world, there is always happiness and distress. And therefore, one has to learn not to live on the platform where there is happiness, that one is joyful, and when sometimes something happens and we don't like it, oh, I'm miserable. And then something happens we do like, then I'm happy again. And then something happens we don't like, oh, up and down. Krishna says, do not pay attention to the ups and downs in the material world. They come and go according to your karma, like winter and summer seasons. You must become tolerant. You must fix yourself in knowledge. And that has nothing to do with you. You get a nice coat. You should not become happy because the coat is not you. When your nice coat gets a rip in it, then you don't become unhappy because you are not getting a rip into you. It has nothing to do with you. So the happiness and distress in the material world has nothing to do with us, the soul within the body. Therefore, according to our karma, when the happiness and distress comes, we just must learn to become tolerant and become fixed on the platform of intelligence, knowing that we are the soul. We don't have anything to do with the happiness and distress in this world. Nothing whatsoever. Why do we feel happy? Because something good happens to our goat. Or why do we feel miserable if something bad happens to our goat? It is due to attachment and the desire to squeeze some pleasure from the hots and colds in the material world. My favorite example in this regard is what we call ahankar. Ahankar means, the modern meaning means, is I'm my car. So someone has a new car and thinks, oh, everyone should be looking at me as I'm driving in my car. Just see, it's the newest fast car. And then some car bangs into it. Some old truck or something bangs into it. And then we get out and scream, you hit me! This is called ahankar. But actually, he did not hit us. But we feel distressed as he hit us. As if we were not a car. Because we identify with that car. But if it is someone else's car that gets hit, we don't mind so much because we don't identify with it. It is not the source of our pleasure. So similarly, all happens and distress in the material world has nothing to do with us. And we should learn undecisively from the Bhagavad Gita that we should try to find our happiness on a different platform. This is the subject of the next verse. So, happiness and distress. Who wants distress in this world? Nobody. But still it comes. Like happiness comes. Happiness and distress. Why is that? Because the happiness and distress we are experiencing is something we have constructed ourselves. It are reactions from our past misdeeds in the past. Therefore we get happiness and distress. Previous pious activities give pleasure. Previous impious activities get suffering. So that is just the consequence. What we experience is a reflection of our own past, that's all. That it is said in the Bhagavatam, Tashevari, Taparaparate, the Kovido, Nalapyate, Pramadam Yata, Yata, Talapyate, Anyata, Sukam, Kalina Savaratrabha, Gabira Samara Samasa. This verse is very interesting from the Bhagavatam. Dasevaita Prayate da Kovido Kovido Das Kavi Kovido, one who is intelligent. It speaks about one who is intelligent. One who is intelligent is seeking that pleasure which is not available from the lowest to the highest planet in this universe. So he seeks pleasure which is not from this world, that intelligent person. Because that pleasure and distress in this world, it just comes and goes. Nothing you can do about it, because at the time of your birth, the happiness and distress you will get in this world, it's already predestined. We think, oh, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to get happiness, some sense gratification. But whether you work hard or not, the result will be the same. It's just predestined, your happiness and distress, what you will get. It's very interesting. Urmila will come soon. She said that previously I was in family life and so on. But then I started traveling. Well, she first lived in a little office with all her books and so on, but then she started to travel constantly, and she gave everything up, but still she got the same happiness and distress as before while traveling. So nothing you can do about it, that's what you will get, and that's your predestined situation, that so striving for this happiness and this stress, it's just a useless endeavor, because it's for the body, it's not for us. Why are we in distress? It's because ahankar, identifying with the body, and especially identifying with the mind, that's very dangerous, identifying with the mind. This is a very important instruction from Krishna. If we want spiritual life, we have to learn to tolerate all these things. The fact of feeling hurt means false ego, that's all. Of course, people in general do not think in that way, but a devotee, when he feels hurt, he knows, oh, the problem lies in me. Not the person that hurt me, but I feel offended, or because I'm dishonored. Dishonor. What is the honor and dishonor for? It's for the body, not for the soul. And the body you have to leave behind. So what's the use of all these things? So, to come to the platform of tolerating, one has to use one's intelligence, buddhi. That's very important. If one gets in a situation where one becomes dishonored or gets hurt by things, then we should not take that very serious. It's not a very serious thing. It's many times, become in a situation where
we are so-called put in distress by something else. And then we see that person as our enemy. It's not our friend anymore because he causes distress to me. But the distress is due to ourselves, due to our false ego identifying with the mind. And the more you concentrate on it, the more you become entangled on it. If you have a problem, then first thing is that very important? Why is that problem there? If you start to analyze it, you come to the conclusion it's not really a problem. Not really, it's a very an important thing. But that's the life of those who are absorbed in duality. And you have all these emotions and feelings that come up in the mind, and we have to tolerate them, all these feelings. You have emotions in the mode of passion, emotions in the mode of ignorance, emotions in the mode of goodness. We have all to tolerate them. What's an emotion in the mode of passion? To become angry. Because also lust is an emotion, is an experience of the mind in the mode of Rajaguna, of becoming proud. That this, the more you show pride, the more you will suffer. The real position of peacefulness comes when you become humble. This emotions in the mode of ignorance, fear, to become fearful. Why do we become fearful? In the inscription it said it's like one thinks that a rope is a serpent, mistakes the rope for a serpent, and then we become fearful because the serpent is going to bite us. Then when we come out of illusion, we say, oh, it's only a rope, so it's nothing. So we identify with the body, and we think it's going to give pain to me, but it cannot give pain to us, because we are the soul. Very interesting is that if you are in a situation of distress and you start to fight against it, it becomes just worse. But if you accept it as a reaction of past misdeeds, you accept it, this is my karma, what can I do? This person is hurting me because I've hurt someone else. So now I'm paying the bill. It's paid, that's good. But the person thinks that's good. I get rid of the reaction. If one does not understand that with one's intelligence and see the fault in the other, then what's going to happen? I'm going to retaliate. And there you go again. You create reactions for the future and future suffering. But by accepting that, it's like we are prisoners in a jail. And you're going to the jail because you have done something wrong, and you accept that. And you said, yes, I have to do my term here, and then I can go again. So we accept that, and then you become peaceful. But if you start to react or you start to lament about it and so on, there's no reason for lamentation. because it's your reaction. What can you do? You can lament, oh, I did that in my previous life. But what's the use? It's all for the body. The soul was never affected. But it's so many emotions come in the mind that we should learn to tolerate them and not reciprocate with these emotions that come into the mind. That's not easy in the beginning. Because if one does not follow the four regulative principles, then one has not the spiritual power to separate himself from the mind. One identifies with the mind, and nothing you can do. You lament and you think, yes, that's I'm that mind. You identify so deeply. That's caused by lust. It's by spiritual power that by your intelligence you can say, oh, that emotion comes here, I just leave it there. That's not an important thing. And you let it go. Let it go. Detachment, let it go. That we have to learn to let things go. One may think this person has hurt me. And the whole day one concentrates with his mind on that person. you become crazy. Just let it go. Let it go. That we have during the chanting so many things come because we are of material attachment, but we have to let it go. Not meditate on it because it becomes worse. Like you have pain in the body and you meditate on the pain, it becomes worse. If you meditate on Krishna, then you come off the spiritual out of the material platform, and your suffering will diminish severely. So that's why we have to tolerate. Because if we don't learn to tolerate, you cannot get that power of coming out of this misidentification with the body. Because all these feelings, they are, because our problem is we want to control. And it's difficult to control. That's what Arjuna says in the sixth chapter. I cannot do it, Krishna, controlling the mind. But Krishna said, No, you can do it. If the mind wanders, you bring it always back. It's abhyas, practice, and detachment. Let it go. So it's important not to take the mind too serious. So renunciation means also giving up these emotions, giving up this attachment. Learn to give it up. With spiritual power, push it out of your mind. The whole thing. But we cannot do it artificially. Sometimes it's better to use our emotions in Krishna's service. It's because we are identifying with the body. That's this ahankar. Ahankar. And you see, only if we identify with ahankar, we see only the field of our emotions in our mind. And then Maya thinks, yes, very good, I got him or her. That's how Maya works. Get your attention, and then you concentrate on the sense gratification or on the distress, and there you go. So that's the first lesson to learn in the that's the first lesson to learn. This is a method to come out of the madness of this material world. That like I say, there comes up an emotion in my mind, and then you look at the emotion, and then you should think, could I let this go, this emotion? Sometimes we get experience in the mind and we think it's Krishna conscious, but it's not always the case. What comes up in our minds is mostly to do with anarthas. Anartha. Artha means thing. Anartha means unwanted things. Things that have no value. Everything related to the body has no real value. It's temporary. So we should learn to disengage ourselves what has no value. That so-called happiness for the body has no value. The distress. So this tolerating means becoming a dhira or a sadhu. And when we become a sadhu, everything falls in place. Then we become peaceful, but peaceful is a question of balance and freedom from these modes, from all these emotions. Then, because if one can't tolerate, and especially this mind, then one is ready for liberation. So it's very important how to attain that platform. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is happiness without peace? It's not possible. So one must become peaceful first to come to the transcendental platform. That's transcendental platform is the Brahma-Buddha platform. Brahmachari means achar, Brahma-achar. Achar means acting on the Brahman platform. That's that platform. What's opposite to this ahankar, what's opposite to this brahmachar, acting on the spiritual platform, that it's ahankar, acting according to the body. So these are two important things. Ahankar, how does it manifest in the mind? I want this, I want that. Our likes and dislikes, that's ahankar. It's not difficult to see. Am I on the spiritual platform? Look at your likes and dislikes. And according to our situation in our previous lives, we have constructed a consciousness in the material modes, and then automatically the likes and dislikes come up. We like this, we don't like that. Sometimes we want approval, sometimes we don't want approval. Sometimes we want to survive, sometimes we don't want to survive. But sometimes we want to control, Sometimes we want to be controlled. That these are all manifestations of ahankar. The males, they want to be controlled. The females, they want. The males, they want to control, and the females want to be controlled. But it's difficult to control the mind. But this is the method given in this verse to learn to tolerate this mind, and that means to tolerate the emotions, all this appearance of the gunas in our mind. But it's important to understand these gunas, then one can analyze the situation of one's mind. What's most dangerous is its experience of or emotions of fear, emotions of grief, apathy, that does one in ignorance. That another situation is Rajaguna. It's not much better. It's lust, anger, greed, that pride. Yeah, one takes credit for everything one has achieved. But Bhagavad Gita says, ahankara vimudatma, prakritikyamanani, kurma karma sarvasa, ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate. One who thinks he's a doer in this world is a fool, because everything is done by material nature. Everyone who is proud, as always showing pride, is a fool. He identifies with the body. He thinks he does things. He thinks he controls things. But Krishna Bhagavad Gita says, no, the soul only desires. Everything is done by material nature, according to our karma. So not much we can change about our situation. So that's the person in knowledge. And the person in knowledge, by acting to this knowledge and tolerating, it become peaceful. It become peaceful. Why? Because you accept this situation. Acceptance is in the mode of goodness, and emotion in the mode of goodness. Acceptance, peace, and courage to go to it, whatever happens. So these are very important spiritual practices that to learn this art, it's so important to remain in association of devotees. That's because they are practicing that. The reason why many come in trouble is because they left the association of devotees. It's best to avoid offending devotees. That best is to serve the devotees, to be their friend. Therefore, we should never leave ISKCON, whatever happens. Srila Prabhupada was concerned about our spiritual welfare, and he gave us ISKCON for that reason. If we stay in ISKCON, if we stay in association in devotion, devotion, then when we die, we will be able to think of Krishna. Sometimes we think bad things, that's our bad karma. And the good things is Krishna's mercy. Anyway, it's a healthy position. But in spiritual life, the most important thing we have to give up to come to that point of not identifying with the body is to give up sex life. That's so important, to give that up. So many points, important points. We have to purify our consciousness. But this purification comes, or is the beginning of that. The first instruction Krishna gives is tolerate. But nothing much we can do. And it's good to learn that art to tolerate. Then, in the most difficult situations, you remain cool-headed and you know what to do. Someone who is bewildered by the modes of nature, he becomes angry and is supposed to fall down. We have learned in the second chapter. One loses one's intelligence. That's really a characteristic of one who has lost his intelligence, an angry person. A Brahman never become angry, at least not for the bodily identification. It's also spiritual anger, but that's another thing. We are not on that platform. So anger is because of frustration. And why is there frustration? Because there is not expected sense gratification. Means one has not to learn to tolerate. One does not understand that these reactions, they are due to my own past misdeeds. I better accept them. It is an illusion to think to become happy in this world. Happiness and distress will come regardless of what you want. Nothing you can do. And that's knowledge. That is real knowledge. And acting according to that knowledge, then one stops making plans. Unnecessary plans. That Yudhisthira Maharaj, where there is a story of the five Pandavas drinking from a lake that was guarded by a yaksha, and they all fell down unconscious. We can say they died. But the yaksha said to Yudhisthira Maharaj, who was the last one, Yaksha would also finish Yudhisthira, but he said, if you ask my questions correctly, I will revive them again. Anyway, yes. But the question of the yaksha was, tell me what's the most amazing thing in this world. Well, and Yudhisthira Maharaj said, the most amazing thing is that everyone is temporary in this world and is going to die, but still he makes arrangement to become permanently happy in this world. That's the most amazing thing. So that means practically everyone is under that illusion to make a permanent settlement. And we create material desires, it's just an illusion. Whether you have these desires or not, or you try to fulfill them or not, you get happiness and distress, which is predestined. So that's just an illusion, all these material desires. And then running after these material desires to fulfill them like a madman, And what's the result? The result is what's predestined to you. And that means not always happiness, sometimes also distress. We have to tolerate it. It comes up from sense perception. It's the mind that becomes absorbed in it through the senses. And then the soul identifies with it and becomes mad. If there is decay in the body when you get old age, people become full of anxiety, but the devotee does not become full of anxiety. He knows, I have to leave it anyway. I accept it. I accept I have to die and leave and go to another place. So what is the point? I accept that I may have to go now, in 1 minute, or in 10 years, or whatever. I accept it. Then there is no anxiety. Not that, oh, I'm going to live only 3 years. I've still this and this and this and this plan to fulfill. Just madness. That aspect of tolerating is based on knowledge, transcendental knowledge, which we have to make it to bring in practice. And that's the first point of practice, Krishnama. This tolerating is so important. In family life, with wife and husband, so many things you have to tolerate. The more you think, the more you see as married life, as an exchange for sense gratification, the more you will suffer, and the suffering is without limit. And see, people are suffering like anything. We go on Harinam in the center of the city. Just look at the faces of the people. Are they happy? They don't look happy. That's my honest perception. They don't look happy. So what is wrong? That is wrong, that they. This ahankar, this identification with that so-called happiness and distress, and that fruitless striving to change their situations, which they cannot. You are in the prison, you are in the prison house, and you have to accept it. And it's not pleasant in a prison house. There's something to tolerate there. That we just tolerate it. And that will make us spiritual advanced. Very spiritual advanced. So that's first lesson to learn. Any questions?
Yes. It's like, obviously it's early on in the chapter, this text has come in, and it's quite deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, applicable everywhere in the course of this Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, you know, we talk about happiness and distress, identification, and then we're getting involved with the three modes of nature. Mm-hmm. This is it. And obviously, once you're in this realm of, then you have to obviously get the happiness. But what is Ananda then? You know, because we, the spirit soul, is made up of that element too, Ananda.
Yeah.
I mean, even this happiness that we supposedly may get, all right, that has nothing to do with the soul.
No. That means there is another realm of consciousness. There is ignorance, there is passion, there is goodness, and above goodness is sattvagun, pure goodness or transcendence. But we don't have that experience of transcendence now. We lost that contact. We are, because we are in contact with the three modes. that we have to purify ourselves and gradually come to goodness. And from there we can go to pure goodness. Goodness, the highest platform of goodness is the Brahma Buddha platform. There spiritual life begins. But this na shosti na kangshoti. Shosati means lamenting, it's the mode of passion. That and then you have the hankering for things is the mode of passion. Plan making for enjoyment of the body. When one has given up both the lamentation and the plan making, then one becomes peaceful. And that's the platform of goodness, peace, shanti. And then from there one can go into transcendence when one becomes completely purified. But that we can only come to transcendence by spiritual practice, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we become pure, then the transcendental consciousness will be revealed to us. It's not something you can get on your own power, but that's our original consciousness, and we have to regain our original consciousness. Being situated on that original consciousness means ananda. That's ananda. Paramabuddha is not ananda, it's shanti, peace, which is already on the material platform. Does the material happiness is peace. That's shanti. That's already good. So let us first come to goodness. And that's the art is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Three modes of material nature, chapter 14, explains the three modes and how to come to goodness. But then Krishna says, Mamsyo Vyabhicharana Bhakti Orina Sivate Sakatan Samatichitam Brahmabhuya Kalpati. But by unalloyed, constant devotional service, one can transcend the three modes of nature. That's the way, pure devotional service to Krishna. Then you can transcend. But that pure devotion, then you have to be situated already on the Brahma platform to experience it. And then you come to ananda. So that's...
One of the aspects is that, which I may not... that Queen Kunti is asking for this pain. Now, which pain are we... Because surely they're on a transcendental level.
Well, Queen Kunti is saying, she remembers that we went to so many difficulties, she and the Pandavas. She said to Krishna, you saved us always. When Bhima was poisoned by eating a cake, which was full of poison. He said to Krishna, you have saved us from the Rakshasa man eaters. You have saved us from being burnt in the house of shellac. You have saved us every time. But she said, you saved us always in these dangerous situations. But during these dangerous situations, because of the danger, we took shelter of you, and we were so deeply absorbed in you that we felt this transcendental bliss, ananda. Therefore, bring us always in difficulties, because then I can remember always. So, a devotee takes distress as an opportunity to remember Krishna. That So we are in Kali Yuga. You don't have to ask for distress. It comes on its own accord. The devotee sees it as an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. That, yeah. So the devotee doesn't mind. Is he in hell or in heaven? It's just the same. It's all the material world. That's just the same. He will concentrate his mind on Krishna and think of Krishna. So it doesn't matter. Heaven or hell, for a devotee, it's the same in this material world. Just the land of Mrityu, Jara, and Mrityu, anyway. That birth of death, old age, disease, and birth. Yes.